AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to L.A., Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another edition of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. I'm with my homeboy,
Big J.
And Big J, I'll allow you to do the introductions today.
Ain't too many words to say about this brother right here. You know, he old school. He's been around a long time. He done did time in prison. And I just want to say I'm glad to have him here to educate us, because I done learned a lot from listening to him, talking to him on the phone. And he makes a lot of valid points. So we're going to let him say his name and bring it in and show us what he's working with.
Greetings, my brothers and sisters. I go by the handle of my African name is Hannibal Cambone, which means Hannibal itself means grace to the people. No, Cambone itself means love for the people. And Hannibal means the oppressor being suffered by a lightning bolt. So a lightning bolt to the oppressor and love for the people. That's what Hannibal Cambone means. Now, I want to also let you know that everybody know me already, but they also call me Original Frog, a.k.a. Triple OG Frog. And the subject today is based on the truth. That's the name I'm going to name this episode right here. It's called The Truth. You know what I'm saying? And I believe in the truth, you know, and it's kind of strange how things operate in life sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we get caught up into just going by he say and she say. Things are what a person say instead of investigating, you know. And this is going to be somewhat of like a hearing, like a courtroom hearing in a sense. We're dealing with facts. We're dealing with evidence. We're dealing with things. We're dealing with things that can become what you call without challenging. Some things you can't even challenge in life. It is what it is, you know. AC King Bubba Louie, that's my boy right there. And, you know, it's something that he said that I would always keep with me. He said, when you speak on something, you better have something to back it up with. Because if you don't have nothing to back it up with, that's all it is. It's just talk, you know. And talk is cheap, my brother. A picture says 1,000 words. Witness also says 1,000 words that can get you convicted. So my whole point is the truth.
All right, now, let me interject. Let me come in here. When you say the truth, is you speaking on the truth of the history of how we came about gangbanging and what our neighborhoods meant and how they started? What, I mean, the truth, like...
Well, AC King Bubba Louie, he had a dispute about the truth. We're dealing with the brother Brim from the West Side named Elgin, you know? And that got kind of heated because of, I think it had a lot to do with ego tripping, you know, of who's right and who's wrong. But in reality, though, you know, for those who were there, you know, that's what it basically boils down to. I was there. You know, I walked on Powery Street in 74 and 75. I was there kicking it with Tab, you know what I'm saying, and putting in 74 and 75 before Tab got killed. So I knew these guys like Terry Carter and Ronnie Graham. So my whole thing is that being that I know these guys personally and I know they evolved in from Powery Street. A lot of people don't understand that this just didn't happen overnight. This wasn't something that just popped up. This was what you call an evolution, you know? And the evolution was this, that people still don't want to believe. But I don't know why they don't want to believe, because maybe because the Brims have a longer history than the Pyrus and then the Bounty Hunters. I guess they feel that, you know, age is nothing really but a number when it comes to this right here, because history has something to do with how can I say, the origin. And what is the origin? This is the origin right here. Let me show you the origin. Brand new. I bought this just to show you something right here. This right here is the origin of the Bloods, the real Bloods, you know what I'm saying, that I know, that I grew up with. This is the origin. And when I was in Centennial High, 1974, I never seen a red rag in my life claiming to be Pyru until I went to Centennial in 74. Nobody had the red bandana at Lock High before I went to Centennial. I was there with Peabody from West Side Devil Lane. I was there with Arthur Ray, a little art from At This Park. He was there, him and Black Glove from At This Park. Nobody had the red bandana in 74. Nobody, you know. But the Pyrus, when I touched down, I would say November of 74, the red rag or the red bandana or the red flag, as people want to call it, all it meant was just one thing in Compton, and it didn't mean nothing else. And I never saw it nowhere else in Los Angeles. And the word that they used for that red bandana was Pyru.
So from the Nickersons to the Swans, nobody had that bandana?
Nobody had that red bandana. And it's kind of strange that the backup is this. I just saw a video of the origin of the Peace Stone with T.J. Rogers, rest in peace. And he made a statement saying back in 1969, everybody was saying cuz, and everybody was wearing a blue rag, which is not the truth when it comes to Compton and Watts, my brother. And the reason why I'm saying that, because I didn't hear the word cuz until like 74. And I didn't hear the word blood until around about like 74, 75. And the red bandana and all that, 74, 73. This stuff did not happen in no early 70s, 70, 71. That is not true at all.
Hey, let's pay some bills real quick and we get right back to y'all.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than a quarter million satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
Before, can I ask you a question for the people? How did the red rag originate? Like, just the symbolism of it. How did that come about?
Well, everything always have a reaction, my brother. For at one time it was white power by the Ku Klux Klan, and what did we say in retaliation? Black power. Okay, when the Compton Crips start wearing their blue rags after Buddha got killed, you know what I'm saying? The Compton Crips, the West Side Crips, everybody start wearing blue rags. The Bloods didn't have nothing because we wasn't no Bloods at the time. But when the Piru seen that blue rag, their opposition at Centennial, the Apache is also known as a red. The Centennial is painted red in burgundy also. So that can also be a clue for to give them the flag, the red bandana. But they took that red from Centennial and made it into a bandana. And when it became a bandana, they took it to YTS. And when they took it to YTS, it became a blood rag and not a Paroon rag no more. And how? And why would I say that? Is because, let me tell you, LB and Little Vince is the original Power Rules who pushed that bloodline that took the place of Power Rule. They pushed that all the way to the Bounty Hunters and gave the Bounty Hunters, who threw up the B as in Bounty Hunters, the first B came from Bounty Hunter. And they took that B and brought the B to Bloods. And the Piru took the bandana and brought the bandana into Bloods. So they collaborated and they started the B and the red rag as one that came into Bloods. So it's a collaboration. The original B is Bounty Hunter / Blood. The original red flag is Piru / Blood. Together, they collaborated and started Bloods. Simple as that. Now, as far as the West Side, I know this for a fact. From my understanding, I was told that Giacomo said that he was fabricating. He confessed. And I'm glad that he did that because I was very angry at Giacomo. Because my homeboys who helped push this line lost their lives in the process of all this, getting gunned down, you know, ambushed and all these type of things. So, yes, I had an attitude and still do kind of got an attitude towards an individual who would actually fabricate on purpose just for the sake of a family member. You know, I believe in this. We all need to have principles. Principles in life is this. Just because your homeboy is a rapist, that don't have to make you a rapist. You can tell your homeboy, hey, man, that's not right what you're doing. And that makes you a real man. That don't make you no buster. That don't make you less of a gangster. It's because you have principle. So don't follow what other people do just because they doing it. Have, be a leader in your own right and stand up and know what is right and what is wrong. Now, in this gang thing of today, what we have mixed up more than anything is that we don't have forgiveness in our heart. That's the key thing right there.
We didn't have forgiveness in our heart back in our days. When we were gang banging, the average gang member that really got out there and participated in being a, I'm talking about a real gang banger, not a gang member. We didn't have a heart. We did shit.
But the 80s took it to another direction, my brother.
But it was the same. It's just a fallback off of the old school shit, because the old school, just saying, like my generation before me, China Dog them, where the tone that they was setting, they set the tone for us. And then when the cocaine came in and, you know, everybody broke apart and started doing their own thing. Now here we got, you know, now we got more shootings. It ain't no fightings, because I remember we used to get on our bikes and go to certain neighborhoods and fight. But the gunplay came. I was shot in 1980 right here in my chest. And that was the day I said, fuck the sticks, the bats, and all that shit, and took it to another level. If this is what you're going to do to me, this is what I got for you. So I don't have to torment you by beating your ass a certain kind of way, stab you and all that other bullshit. I'm going to take it and it's easier. Walk away from it and don't hear nothing about it. Just don't talk about it. But today, people get shot because of the color of the shirt you got on. So it's a big difference. But I think we got away from the old school way, y'all way, doing it a certain kind of way, and then bam. Like, I mean, I look at this book and it's got a lot of stories in it. So tell me where we fell off at as gang members, as gang bangers.
Well, I want to explain it to you this way. I'm going to use a brother, for example, that came against, from what the book says, 400 Crips and did not get stomped out. And Bulldog was the leader, second in command. And he go by the name of Rhea, a.k.a. Ray Boyce. All you have to do is read AC book and you will see, hey, this guy was no joke. You know what I'm saying? There's a picture that will be shown of him. You know, the bro, AC explained to the world better than I did in a sense, because, you know, for an individual to get surrounded by a compound of Crips around 400 and they do not do nothing to him, you know, that is very, very unusual. That kind of like remind me of, how can I put it? That reminds me of Bruce Lee in a sense. I can remember when I used to watch Bruce Lee, everybody was surrounding him, but they was afraid to really attack him. He had to intimidate them for them to make the first move. So, you know, you have some people, man, that, you know, they respect people who know how to fight. You know, there is honor amongst individuals and even groups at certain time period. He got away with that because it was a certain time period. Time brings on a big change right with that, though.
So at one time in gangsterism, if it was beef, most of that was settled with fist to cuffs. People used to go out there and box.
Correct. Fist to cuff. And that's what it's all about. Back in 1974, 1973, 1972. Now, don't get me wrong. They had individuals that was getting sniped that had reputation, like Chocolate. You know, he got sniped by At This Park Boy at Lock High, and it didn't have nothing to do with no Figueroa Boys, as Tookie would say in his book, which is Blu-rays, Black Redemption. You know what I'm saying? And in his book, he said Chocolate was killed by a Figueroa Boy. I don't know why he said that. I knew already, history already knew that it laid the foundation down that it was the At This Park Boys. And it gave me a sense of thought of maybe he didn't want to give an anti-Crip the credit for that. That's the only way I can come up with that. Why? Maybe he didn't want to just really put it out there like that. But I understand that we all have pride. you know, and we need to set the pride down and come with the truth. And the truth of the matter is, you know, don't change the script because of your dislike or because of your pride and arrogance. You have to keep that real for the simple fact, because all them brothers, Crips and Bloods, who perished behind this nonsense, and I say it again, nonsense, you know what I'm saying? They need to be, I ain't gonna say honored, but they don't need to be disrespected also. I would say that. I feel, are you telling a lie on somebody who died for something that they believe in? I think that's a slap in the face. I believe the old saying used to be, hey, that brother turning over in his grave, you know what I'm saying, behind what you just said. And by that statement, turning over in your grave, that mean whatever you did, you made a dead person disgusted of you to turn over in their grave. So when you sit up there and you bring on episodes on, well, Ray Boyce was a fighter and he never picked up a gun. So therefore, my shot caller, which is Raymond Washington, he never picked up a gun also, such as what Cukes would say, such as what Barefooted Pookie would also say. But I'm here to let you know that there's books here that I can elaborate from. A.C. King Bubba Louie, original Pyru, he has it in his book and let you know the truth about his comrade, Raymond Washington, the original East Side Crips. Before now, any Crips
you
came out.
You say Bubba Louie was original.
Original. He was there day one with Raymond for at least about a year or two.
Raymond Washington, okay.
1969. Raymond Washington and A.C. King Bubba Louie was road dogs together. Right. And when A.C. Bubba Louie became a Pyru and start banging with Pyru because he got shot up by some Compton Crips in a drive-by motorcycle incident, he had a lot of fire in his heart behind that. So he didn't focus on any Crips. He focused only on Compton. He said it himself. He had nothing against the East Side Crips. Those were his loved ones. But the Compton Crips, those were his most hated enemies. And he proved that by even going to YA for a murder. So I cannot take nothing from AC because he's a real warrior. He's also a real warrior to the point where he got down toe-to-toe with one of their toughest Goliath. Yeah, Goliath. Like in David and Goliath, James Miller. I hate to say it, but they call him James Miller, the Brim Killer. And he was bigger than Tookie. Him and A.C. King Bubba Louie, they squared off in Juvenile Hall. So just by A.C. squaring off with a big Goliath like that, that showed me automatically that he believed what he stood for when he became Pyru. Right. You know, we have to understand that this gang activity is kind of semi like religion. If I claim to be a Christian or a Muslim, and I decide to change my fate like Malcolm, he did the same thing. He once believed that all white folks was devil. But then he went to Mecca and he seen that there were white folks also in Mecca. So his whole perspective and his whole view of humanity dealing with Islam was different than what he was being taught as white devil. Because he was breaking bread with his Muslim brothers in Mecca. And he found out the culture there was not racist. So how can he be racist when Islam is not racist?
Now, can I ask you a question, Frog? You know, with the advent of the internet, it gives different people voices. Sometimes that's for the better. Sometimes, as we see, it's for the worse. It's a lot of bullshit that's out there too, right? How much of the stuff do you think online today that the people seeing is accurate?
Well, that's a good question right there, because that's kind of hard to dissect. The only way I would think that an individual can come up with truth, it's just like when you study the Bible. You know what I'm saying? If you study anything and your heart is deeply into it, you're going to research it to the point to where you're not biased enough to say, well, let me read the Holy Quran. Well, let me read the Torah. Sometimes you have to know how to put the puzzle together. That this is a big puzzle to me. You know, I once told somebody that this reminded me of gumbo. And did you know that the word gumbo in Swahili, it means okra? And without okra in your gumbo, you don't really have real gumbo. So I look at myself as an okra of the gumbo. I'm trying to keep it real, keep the gumbo real. And without me telling the truth, I don't think that it would be real, because I don't think that they have real enough guys around to stand up for the real. You know, people might dislike me behind the real, but you know what? hey, they just like Jesus, they just like Malcolm, and they just like a whole lot of other people who stood up for the truth. Well, Martin Luther King died for the truth.
Let me say this. It's a lot of people, like older guys, because can't nobody at 30, 35, 40 tell the history of Bloods or Crips. Can't nobody sit here at 40 and tell me about Raymond Washington, Pookie, or none of these guys. I get it from my uncles and them that was there that's of that age, 67, 68 years old at this time now. You got a lot of misconception out there what Crips was supposed to be or what it meant or what Raymond Washington wanted it to be. And it wasn't this, what you see today. You know what I'm saying? You got Bloods out there, such as yourself, coming with real facts and the truth. Because a lot of these older guys is getting out of prison after doing 30, 41 years, and they saying, this is bullshit. Why the fuck I come home to this? This is what I gave my 40 years for? You know what I'm saying? I'm speaking for those dudes.
In vain.
You know what I'm saying? I done did 31 years. Marcus just got out doing 31 years. LB, and there's so many brothers that lost their lives believing that this is the way it's supposed to be. And it's not. It's, you got guys out there, just call them false prophets, speaking on something and pretending to be the Messiah of the Pirus, the Messiah of the Crips. And if they don't know the history and can't really sit down and tell you the history of this, where do we go?
So let me ask you this question. Is there any particular person that you're preferring to when you said that?
No, I don't think that's necessary.
Okay, well, we're going to keep the line moving then.
Yeah, I'm
just going to keep it 100 with you. You know, I do not like fabrication when it comes to this gang history. And the reason why, because I done seen so many people doing life in prison, so many people done lost their life, and you know, in the graveyard, pushing up daisies. And I think that it's like, you know, so disrespectful for those who did keep it real.
But let me ask you this, Frog. Have you seen anybody out there just saying stuff that it just gets up under your skin because it's so off the cuff?
That's a good question again. I like you, man. You answered the question that I want to answer. Well, number one is this. I understand, man, that the things that we did in life is very shameful. It's really nothing to brag about. You know, people done lost their mothers. Kids done lost their life sitting at the bus stop. You know, people done lost their life just because they wanted to wear burgundy or blue and they didn't have nothing to do with gang banging. So we have all of this negative energy, but then you want to top it off with not telling the truth, you know? And I believe that, you know, it's very shameful on the things that we did, you know, because this stuff is real wild. And what I mean by wild, I mean it gets down to the point where people even start running in each other's houses and stuff like that. But I just want to say this right here and right now. The only thing in Watts that I knew in L.A. that fed the people, sold newspapers to the people, or gave people free newspaper of literature, and the only thing they were saying was off the pigs. They wasn't taking leather coats. All the leather coats they had on, I'm quite sure they went and bought them or their comrades gave it to them. And that was the Black Panther Party. I remember them like yesterday, you know, and that's what I call love. When you feed somebody and you educate somebody, you know, and you want to protect somebody from the system that be, the power that be, which is evil against your own community, those are my type of heroes. You know what I'm saying? Now, when we came out, but the negativity, the Crips and the Bloods fighting each other, you know, instead of falling behind the Black Panthers and picking up the guns and practicing revolution, we was practicing self-destruction against each other. We didn't have no dialogue or nothing. Everything was always to find a reason not to come together than to find a reason to come together.
But we all accepted that. I think every gangbanger that exists today or used to gang bang, we all accepted our titles, our roles in the hood of what we are, what we're going to be. And I think at one point, and I can speak for myself, you might walk out the door and might not come back through this door today. You know, you accepted death
by doing what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Because you might, it might be your day you get caught up. So, I mean, I think it's rougher than that. We didn't look at the Black Panthers. We didn't look at what the dope was doing to the to our neighborhoods. We didn't look at that cat that's next to us. We didn't give a fuck. And that's where our life was at. So my whole thing is trying to educate these young cats that we have out here today that don't know this history, that don't know these nobody in these pictures, like myself. You know what I'm saying? Brothers that stood in the middle of the street by itself and called everybody out, come on, let's roll. And the mentality, when I read that part in the book where they had the Molly cocktails posted up hiding and waited till everybody walked up, and then when the situation happened, they threw the cocktails. That's strategical shit to me. I'm into that type of shit. I love that type of shit in my days. I didn't just go off and just feel like just bam. I planned my shit.
At least you confessing, and that's what I like. I like brothers who can just confess, even if it's wrong. Confession is good for the soul because that means you're not in denial.
No, just bring me back to, you know, this is what we used to be.
Okay,
just like OG Frog, just like China Dog, and all of those guys. You know, these cats is coming home from 31 years. They not looking at who they used to be before they went. Because I believe everybody that went to prison and did 40 for the hood or killed somebody for the hood or they the opposite side and then get out, you don't see that. You don't, when you come home, it's something totally different. Everything was there is gone. So now they looking at this shit like, man, this shit was for nothing. I gave up 40 fucking years for nothing.
I believe, my brother, not to cut you off, I believe that there's a word or a saying that they used to say back in the 60s, and I think that is still true right today. And I don't know if they used the N-word when they said this, but I used to hear this, and I truly believe this, and I'm going to use it in a respectful way. I think Black people is afraid of revolution. That's why we kill each other. I think we're afraid to go against the system. The system is still our master. So we don't kill master. You know what I'm saying? But another slave, we would kill him because why? He's worthless, you know? And now we have the tendency of saying, not everybody, but some individual have a tendency of coming with the thought or the romantic version of that Crips and Bloods at one time was revolutionary. They were fighting the police. That's nowhere in history where the beginning of the Crips and Bloods came out fighting against the police or calling themselves revolutionaries for the community. My thing is this, my brother, you know what I'm saying? It's good to have that train of thought once you learn about yourself in prison or somebody teach you that in Islam, that is about self-love and love for your brother. That's a good thing to do, brother. But for us, the beginning of this, brother, we was all teenagers, man. We wasn't thinking like George Jackson. We wasn't thinking like Huey Newton. We didn't have that mentality. Matter of fact, to go deeper, A.C. Bubba Louie, King Bubba Louie, he said himself that the Crips with Raymond Washington did not have no principles and morals of defending the community. They wasn't even about that. King Bubba Louie himself says that they was about taking leather coats and beating people down. And now I just want to just read this very quick to you to see what King Bubba Louie had to say about Raymond Washington being armed with a firearm compared to Ray Boyce, who never used a firearm. I just want to just see what King Bubba Louie has to say in his book, which is called The Starting Lineup. I'm quite sure it's a blockbuster seller now, so we all know where I'm probably going with this. And where I'm going with this is this. Putin on Piru Street had a big brother named Sakai. They got into an incident with the original Crips at Gonzalez Park because they was in Piru Hood at that time. So what had happened was the Pirus heard about it and they went up there knowing that they was outnumbered, but what they did, they rushed the guys that was on the outskirts of the crowd. Maybe about 5 or 6 guys got beat down by some power rules on the outskirts. And Raymond in the crowd heard about it. So what did Raymond do? He went to Power Rule Street with all the Crips to go deal with these Power Rules who just did a sneak attack against them in Power Rule Hood at Gonzales Park. Now, I just want to read this real briefly, and I just want to elaborate on this and see what the brothers have to say about the gunplay, as we would call it, of Raymond Washington. And this is from King Bubba Louie. This is not from me. I'm getting this from somebody who was right there day one. And this is what the word of AC, King Bubba Louie, said. Once back to Power Rule Street, we waited for a possible counter Crip attack on Power Rule Street itself. We waited with Monte cocktails in hand on both sides of the street, hiding. Our wait wasn't long. Within an hour or so, the Crips massed onto Central Avenue entrance to Power Rule in such numbers that as they proceed down Power Rule Street, we could not see past them once again. It had to be 100 or more. As they approached where we were in hiding, they were not aware of where we were hiding. Sockeye came out of hiding, his putting brother, Sockeye, with an African spear in his hand and stood in the middle of the street and announced, "This is Sockeye, X Avenue, and now Power Rule. Me and Raymond Washington can settle this issue head up." One of the Crips said to Raymond, "He's calling you out." So instead of Raymond meeting this challenge head up, he ran up the middle of the Crips towards Sockeye, shooting a gun. When Raymond starts shooting, we who were in hiding launched our Monte cocktails, causing the Crips to retreat. Sockeye somehow was able to proceed down Power Rule Street, resulting in all the Crips fleeing Power Rule Street. Now, this is King Bubba Louie, AC. This is his book. This is not my book. This is his story. This is not my story. Do I believe it? Yes, I believe it. And the reason why I believe it, because AC loved Raymond. Raymond is not AC enemy. He still loved Raymond. He'll let you know he still loved Raymond and Bulldog. He have no reason to sit here and fabricate on Raymond Washington. But the truth is that Raymond was a gunner, and he shot up Power Rule Street. Now, you can call AC a lie, but he know Raymond before anybody, just about who was there, because he was there from the beginning. So the only one that could call him a lie probably is Bulldog and get away with it, because he was chain of command, number two. Do anybody want to elaborate on that subject?
Another case right there, one brother willing to go head up, another brother with a gun.
Okay.
So that was kind of like the thing. Like, that's what I want to know. When did the pistol play really start up? Like,
the pistol play, my brother? That's kind of heavy, man. That's real heavy when you say the pistol play, because that right there is just about the beginning. That's before the Brim even got murdered, when Country wasn't even dead yet. This is the beginning.
You know, you talk about some
Crips cooking up.
What year was this right here?
This had to be 71. 71.
They had Molotov cocktails.
All that.
And guns. You know, that sounds like some military.
Well, I know before 71, they was using the zip guns, and they introduced that in the 38 special. That was in the 60s. My Uncle Willie used to carry a zip gun in the 60s. My Uncle T, 38s, in the late 60s. So they always had guns, because back then, robbery was a motherfucker at that time. That's how brothers was getting their money. And you had the, like with oh my God. Just what you read right there is what I've been talking about the whole time. What is it going to show us to say that where we at today is wrong, opposed to where they were at in their time was right? They was doing it totally different. It's pretty much the same shit. But then it just advanced more. And when it got to me, it was full-fledged. So we can't stop it now. We can't stop it now. How do we take the history of what you brothers brought to the table and turn it around and shove this bullshit down his throat?
Well, I would say this, man, in defense of Raymond, because I'm going to tell you the truth, brother. You know, the only solution I know, I only know one solution. Matter of fact, I know two solutions. My number one solution is I believe only God can change everything. Everything. When I say everything, I mean everything for the better. I don't think a man can do it. I don't think so. I don't think a man can do it. I think only God can do it. I've been on this earth for 63 years. I think only God can do it.
So you don't think if these youngsters hear your story, King Bobby Lou's story, a China Dog story, a LB story, a Cynthia Nunn story, all of these OGs coming out and telling the truth about what the fuck it is.
Hard-headed, my brother. Hard-headed. You was once hard-headed. Who could tell you anything
back when you was 15, 16? I'm kind of still hard-headed. Nobody could tell
me
that.
No.
And that was the point.
So put yourself in their position. Put yourself in their position and think how you were. And that's all you have to do.
I did it many times. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I've thought about that many times. That's why I can't get on this platform and say these stupid little motherfuckers. I was a stupid little motherfucker. I can't be contradicting. I can't be a hypocrite about the shit. I was once them.
Okay.
So take from what I know and how I'm thinking now and apply it to a 14, 15-year-old. Because if you 35 and 45 and 50, you're still out there gangbanging, ain't no saving you. This is what you want to do. Some of us are trapped. So how do we get out of that, out of the midst of being trapped and listen and understanding what we see here?
Well, I have to say one thing because my conscience is really getting the best of me on this, and not to push whatever you're saying to the side, but to try to add an understanding onto this subject. And I would say this. We have to look at Raymond's side of the point of view also. He's only human. If a man is in the middle of the street with a spear, calling you out in front of your homeboys. You know what I'm saying?
I got to get it.
One of your homeboys whisper in your ear, what are you going to do? And you're supposed to be the shot caller. And they looking at you. You know what I'm saying? And he got a spear in his hand. You know, you can either do two things. Put down the spear and let's get out. Or you can do another thing. You can get an equalizer. You know what I'm saying? Something that may be over an equalizer. You know, I look at it as a blessing that he didn't kill the brother. You know, so maybe he shouldn't have picked up the spear anyway. But the only point that I'm making is this. They have some people, brother, that walk this earth. No matter what you do, how you want to fight, they go take the lower road. And the lower road. See, the higher road to me, in my mind, is a person who think that they are superior over somebody. The Crips, yes, they believe they superior over all the gangs that was existing against them, you know. And I hate to say this, but man, they was dangerous, man. There was some dangerous brother, man. And Raymond had to push that line to show his power. Still, you know, he ruled with an iron fist, my brother. So maybe that pistol that was made out of iron, maybe he wanted to rule with an iron pistol. So, you know, either or, iron fist, iron pistol, he made his choice. And that's the bottom line into this gang thing.
Right.
It's your choice. It's your choice if you want to fight a brother, and it's your choice if you want to kill a brother. So I can't tell you what choice to make because that's your choice.
Real shit.
Hold that thought. We coming right back.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than a quarter million satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
I'm going to go back to this question because I know we being like, you know, you coming home because you did some time. When did you come home, brother?
I came home in 2008 after doing 16 years from 92 Rodney King riot. So I did that 16. They gave me 30 and I did half of it and gave my heart to the Lord and I made it out in halftime.
Okay, so let me ask you this, brother. So we got a situation where you come home, you go in during the riots, and you come out. Technology is just way more advanced now at this point. And you're looking online. I don't know if it was that point where people start really putting this type of content out online, but you're looking at everything, right? Have you ever seen anything that, what perturbs you the most about the lies? Like, is there any particular person or anyone in particular, or you just kind of going at all of them?
Are you speaking at for change, me changing my lifestyle?
No, I'm talking about as far as the brothers out here that's kind of like, you know, talking about gang history, but they out there kind of perverting the facts.
Well, I would say this about this, man. You know, I believe that, you know, I hate to go religious on you, but I believe in the word of God so much to the point that's the only reason why I believe I truly, really stop, you know, assaulting people and shooting people and even fighting people, because I believe that what really makes you a man is forgiveness. What really makes you a man is turning another cheek, because you know what, my brother, it's easy to catch a murderer out here. And then when you get stuck up in there, you know what I'm saying? The first thing you're going to say to yourself again, I should have followed my first mind, you know? And I think that love overrules hate. I believe that love overpowers everything on this earth. And that's the hardest thing for a person to do, is show love to an enemy. That's the hardest thing, to show love to someone who killed somebody that was your friend, who killed somebody that was your relative. Do you remember Colors by Ice-T? He said, it wasn't your brother who brutally died, but it was mine. So let me define my territory. Don't cross the line. Don't try to act crazy, because the won't fade me. You run like a punk. Yeah, that's what Ice-T saying. I believe that. It wasn't your brother who brutally died. So sometimes you have to understand that when people have casualties on both sides, it's like the hillbillies. It's like the federal and the Klansmen during the time of war when they were the Confederate. You know what I'm saying? Of course, the slave was free by going to war with the Ku Klux Klans as the Confederate Army. But you have to understand one thing. They did not forgive the black people, but they forgave the white people and became part of the United States government. But they still had that hatred for the slave, because it's a superiority trip. Who are you to live on the level that I live when my granddaddy had you in the cotton fields? And we have that same mentality. Who are you, you know what I'm saying, with a little gang the size of maybe 10 people when I got 1,000 people? You're nothing to me. You're a buzzer. You're nothing. But then again, you have to understand, then this is what I believe in. It's not the amount of people that exist. It's the heart of the people that exists in that number. So you can have 1,000 cowards. What that have to do with dealing with 100 warriors? They're going to lose because guess what? They're going to retreat and they're going to keep on retreating because for the simple fact, underestimation is what got a lot of Crips and Bloods killed today by thinking, oh, I can go over here and mess with this female on Hoover Street. Or I can go over here and mess with this female on Grandy. You know what I'm saying? But have you ever thought about that the female that you are messing with on Hoover Street or Grandy Street are setting you up to get you killed? And that happened many times because you underestimate not only the Crips, but also an undercover Crippolette that sets you up.
You're underestimating the female. And that's Thank what happens.
That's real because every all my baby mamas are from they Crips. From Hoover, IE, Southside, all of my baby mamas are Crips. And trust me, my first mama lived on 118th. So I used to catch the bus straight up Rosecrans to San Pedro and mob down San Pedro to her house.
Just over there, just kicking it like it's the thing to do.
With Chuck Taylor's on and my red shoestrings and my little pistol. And just mobbing, because we didn't care back then. But they never fucked with me.
Well, you was blessed, my brother. That's all. You was blessed. You had the hand of God on you. Because there's more that didn't make it that did make it.
Well, I can tell you that now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. Back then, we didn't give a fuck. And if that was the game, that was the game. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, we didn't pay attention to how many people we hurt by just hurting one person. How many people we hurted just doing that one person. Vice versa. We don't think about that. The impact that we had out there in the streets. You know what I'm saying? And that's where we need to get to. And these brothers right here, I mean, we've been doing this shit for a long time. For a long time. And it was brothers like yourself that I watched. Watching China Dog them up under the headquarters. Stanley Pitts and watching all of these brothers, how they got down, how they moved, how those cats would be fighting in the park and nobody give up. Man, I gotta be like that. How China Dog could wave his hands and all the Mexicans is, what's up, homie? What's up, big homie? He had it sold up. Like, how in the fuck? You know, just certain things about certain homies. I drew to that. I gravitated to that. And I took a little something from China Dog. I took a little something from Stanley Pitts. I took a little something from Bojangles. I took a little something from all of those guys and just rolled it all up in one. This is how I'm rolling. So I can't be denied of who I'm going to be. I can't be denied. And I worked my ass off to be that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? But now the regret. And then we have, I mean, this is history right here. Like some real cats, like in some real life shit. But it's 10 times worse now. And then you got people lying on these cats that really, like you, went to prison and fought those wars. And then they come home and say they fought the war, but they ain't never been to motherfucking prison.
Well, you know what, my brother? I want to tell you something, man. You know, we all have our individuals who we look up to, you know, and those who I even look up to myself. And Ray Boyce and Tavi Clark. Tavi Clark, rest in peace. He just passed away. And he's a historical brother, just like Ray Boyce. And I have a picture of both of them. Tavi is the one with the black hat on, wearing all black. And Ray Boyce have a beige hat with a black band on it, wearing a blue shirt. And he's smiling real, real wide. These two brothers right here, my brother, I know without a doubt, and can't nobody tell me but God, they didn't pick up no guns, brother, back in the 60s and the 70s. You know what I'm saying? Like I said before, these are our guns right here, my brother. And I got that from them, learning that. Same thing with Craig Munson said. Sometimes, brother, you know, you have to understand that what makes you more of a man to me as I had to mature and evolve into this mentality. What makes you more of a man is when you can know how to protect yourself from the shoulders. Because I want to tell you something about that, my brother. You know what I'm saying? A coward can shoot a gun, my brother. Right. A coward can shoot a gun. And majority of us, and I'm not going to put this lightly, majority of us as gang members, a.k.a. gangsters that want to be on the scene as a gangster, the ones who like to shoot up everything and don't fight, you know what I'm saying? Those are the ones, brother, that need to be disciplined to me to learn how to fight. You know, right. See, we don't have no organization. We just do things randomly. And so therefore, by people doing things randomly, they're not trained. They just do as they please. You know, like T. Rogers said himself, the Black Stones had principles. They had, you know, they trained each other. They knew they had knowledge and they was an organization. We were not our organization, the Crips and Bloods. We didn't start organizing until we went to prison. And San Quentin, and then Folsom, and Tracy, just like they had to organize in YTS, Ray Boyce, and Baba Louie, and Little Vince, and LB. They was all organizing the Bonner Rules. They took the red bandana, which meant power rule, and took the bounty hunter sign, which meant blood, and came together as Bonner Rules. And that's organizing right there to come together against the opposition. Now, the same opposition we came against were Black people, who we feel that was terrorizing the community. But what about the police? Don't they terrorize the community? Why are we so quick to take off on each other? But when it comes to that guy in that black and white police car, you know what I'm saying? When he come on the block, first thing we want to do is either run, drop our guns, surrender, and everything. But if somebody come down, get ready to do a drive-by, you're going to spray that whole car up.
Right.
Self-hate, my brother. Self-hate. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I do dislike about gang members who do not have heart enough to stand up against the system like they stand up against their own people.
Right. Well, oftentimes, what I do see a lot of time, man, there's a lot of self-hatred just amongst Black people, period. Not just the gangbangers, right? Because you look, you will see brothers start to elevate and climb, you know, and they climb. It's like you climbing a fence. And James, the way James described it one time was perfect because he said it's like you crawling over a fence and you got a million motherfuckers grabbing at your ankles to pull you back down, right? I think it's a lot of that. We see things that happen in the community. We have bypassed that, but yet we go slap the shit out of this brother over here that's not bothering nobody. And I think a lot of that stuff, man, was programmed in us. I believe the Willie Lynch letter, all that stuff is very real, man. I think a lot of stuff is just strategically in place now to destroy the Black community. I really believe that. If you look at it, if you look at some of the stuff that's going on, even with the way gangbanging is set up in itself, you know what I mean? It's like you look at the Nixon Gardens, right? You have a place of poverty, right? It's poverty all through there. Don't nobody got nothing. So the one person that does get something, whether that's legal or illegal, whether that it could be a brother just going down to the docks and getting a job on the docks. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have a million motherfuckers mad at him because he went and got that. How dare he try to progress? And now he talking about now his kids going to school saying, yeah, we about to move out of here. The other little kids hear that stuff and be like, how dare they leave the situation that they in? What do you think about that, bro?
Well, I think about this, my brother. I believe that misery love company, my brother, you know, and it even says it in the Bible, my brother. When people go to hell and they go to the lake of fire, they're going to be cussing each other out in the name of Satan because they're going to be so tormented to where your pain is going to be hurting you so much to where you'll be taking it out on your neighbors in hell, you know. So I understand what that dialogue means right there, my brother. That means that people don't like suffering by themselves. And when you come from a poverty area like that, and it reminds me of a song when I was a little boy. Back in the days, the Temptations sung a song, "Don't Let the Jones Get You Down." You know what I'm saying? You know, if you see something you want and you know you can't afford it, you know what I'm saying? The best thing you do is go work for it. Don't be jealous of your neighbor because they got a new Cadillac. Go buy you a Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? Save up your money and get you something, you know? And if you can't do that, you know what I'm saying? Find something constructive to do where you don't have to be focusing on materialistic things.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking on that, I got to give a shout out to my boy, Anthony Tiffin. Dude Dog from the Nixon Gardens, you know, Startup Top Dog Entertainment. Okay. He is one of the first entertainers I've seen actually do everything right that comes from the gang life. You don't see him out there. You know, he ain't went and did no negative stuff. He ain't went and got 20 or 30 homies from the Nickersons and just take out there and let them terrorize people. That ain't what he did. He brings a concert there every year. He employs people. You know what I mean?
I understand.
He brings something positive. He gives back to the community in a positive manner. He's not one person. He can't help everybody. But I do see him do some amazing stuff over there. And you got some people that leave and just never come back. Why do you think that is?
Man, that's kind of heavy, my brother. Leave and never come back. What do they leave to, my brother?
You know, just cats that, you know, theoretically escape and make it out of there.
Like, hey.
It may make them... You know, to escape out of there, it may be you as simply as moving to the Inland Empire. You may have got a good job and just left and went to the Inland Empire and said, I ain't never going back around there no more.
Brother, you're talking about me. I'm that man. I'm that man who only go to Nickerson Garden average once a year or twice a year, you know, every 6 months or once a year. And I want to tell you why, my brother. I love them brothers over there. I love a lot of brothers over there I love. I got love for Loaf, Renzi. I got love from them Lock Boys also. Wee Wee, I love them brothers. You know what I'm saying? I love Snoop. I love them brothers, you know? Those are my second generation brothers. And they growing up over there still. They've been there since the 60s and the 70s. And it's something about the love that I have for them, brother. I understand that it's not easy for everybody to make transitions from out the project, coming straight from prison. You got to have money, man, to live in a nice neighborhood. And I was just blessed enough to know a church foundation that gave me and my wife their, what they call it, their credit to rent a house. I didn't have no credit when I came home. I didn't have nothing. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, you know what I'm saying? I was living with family members. Now I have something that I have my family in. And that is something that I really value. I value that, guess what? It's like returning to slavery in a sense. Slavery is poverty. That's another sense of poverty, you know, and that's where they want to keep us at, in a slave-like state of eating pork and throwing the guts to the slaves, and we eating their leftovers. That's how they treat us in that sense right today. You know, they don't give us the best food in our community. You see a liquor store and McDonald's everywhere, but do you see Farmer John's or whatever them places that grow that organic food? You don't see that in Watts and Compton. So they don't have our best interest, brother. So what we have to do is put our money together, brother, and start our own organic food supply, because they're not going to give it to us in their neighborhood. They're going to put it in their own community. Now, the thing about an individual leaving the neighborhood and not wanting to come back, the only way I can see that, if you truly, truly make a 100, I'm talking about 100% change in your mind and heart, to the point to where some things that you do in life and some places that you have been in life, in your mind, it can be disgusting. In other words, it can be tormented to you to the point to where you want to never see that again. You don't want to even come in contact with that no more. It's just like a female being raped. You get so tormented to where now you don't even want to go down Imperial Highway through Watts. You don't even want to go down the 105 because it brings back bad memories. And you know, and here it is now, you living a luxury life to the point to where you want to leave all that behind you. And you know, that's what I call keeping the line moving. So you can't be mad at a brother because he don't want to return to poverty.
Oh, no, never. Because I left the east side of Cleveland, Ohio, and ain't went back.
Amen.
Ain't never went back.
Amen.
Because it's poverty. It's a lot of poverty. It's depression. You know, you see homeboys that you come up with, they get hooked on that dope, or either they go to, you know, prison, just, you know, just getting out of prison. It's just like a revolving door almost up there. You know what I mean? You see a brother.
I understand.
You know,
you that go was back me home, also, brother. That was me also.
You go back to the crib and you say, well, man, I ain't miss shit because this dude right here, he was just out when I came back and now he back in there. You know, it's a revolving door. And that takes me back to my point, man. I believe a lot of this stuff is designed for it to happen that way. And I believe they didn't have to do that hard of a job, because I think we are our own worst enemies a lot of times.
Yes, it is. I just paroled 14 years ago from a California man's college. And I was down there with my partner named Marcellus Robinson from Compton. And you know, that's my boy right there, CC Ryder. That's my loved one right there. Just talked to him over the phone. Melly Mel hooked us up together. And I got love for that brother, you know. And, you know, what we have to understand, my brother, is that, you know, some things can be very tormented, my brother. You know, it would be just like they got some brothers that hate prison so much, they rather die on the streets than to go back to prison. They would tell you, I'm holding court in the streets. And I can understand that mentality because it's pain and suffering. To live through that is suffering, my brother. It takes a very strong individual, man, to do 40 years, to do 45 years, like my boy LB. It takes a lot, man, to do that. We all can't do that, my brother. And you won't really, really, really know until you up against that grind. Because everybody can say, yeah, that ain't nothing. I ain't gonna kill myself. But it's a lot of brothers that have killed themselves. I'm not gonna go to the names right now, but we also know that a lot of strong brothers have committed suicide up in them joints because they can't get away from the torment. And the torment is this is me. This is my personal belief. I think we fight ourselves sometimes. We fight our own demons and we lose. The voices that go to your head, you'll never be nothing. You'll always be in the ghetto. When you go home, nobody don't love you. You coming back again. All these things. Your mother died and you wasn't even there for the funeral. You know what I'm saying? Your son died and you weren't even there for the funeral. That's the voice of demons, brother, are trying to get you to commit suicide. And believe it or not, I want to say it because it's 100. You got to watch what some of your homeboys tell you also. Because they can also be demonic. They can mislead you to get killed. They can mislead you to get destroyed. You know what I'm saying? That goes also in the realm of human beings, not just Satan. You know, you got some people out on these streets that take a form of Satan. Then you just don't see it.
Exactly. Because I tell you this, and this is how I was raised. I've never been a man for gossip, right? If I'm riding down the street and I see your wife in the car with another man, I'm not going to jump on the phone and tell you, hey, Frog, I just saw your old lady out here with some nigga that's messy. I don't know who that man was.
Okay.
I don't know who that was. That could have been her daddy. She could have been with her brother. She could have been with her uncle. I don't know what place you in mentally. You may be already having some stuff with your old lady. And she come home. Next thing you know, you in prison for doing something your old lady for. Misunderstanding for some stuff that was gossip, right? And I'm going to tell you, the devil lives out there, and the devil does manifest itself in homies and this and that, because you have some homeboys that call you about your business that they don't know nothing about, telling you about what's going on with this, this, and the third, and they not, you got a big menagerie going on, a bunch of mess. So it is a spiritual condition. It's a condition of the spirit, man.
Let me tell you about real love, my brother. I can remember when I was in Soledad and we got ready to take off on the white boys, the Bloods and the Crips, you know? And we was in Elf Wing. I already told this story twice, and I'm just going to just elaborate on this. I had a homeboy. He was there with me. His name was Silky Blood. He was not even in the wing that we was in. He popped up in there just to holler at me to see what was going on. And the first thing I told him, get out of here. It's finna go down. I don't want you up in there because you're not going to get away. You're out of bounds. So I'm letting you know right now, for your safety and for you to stay on the main line, leave. That was out of love, because you have some guy was called him and say he's a coward for not staying. See, he don't have his best interest in hand. You know, some things, brother, you can handle on yourself, and you ain't got to take nobody down with you every time. And that's what real love is about, brother, is wanting somebody to at least escape out of the madness. You know what I'm saying? And that's where we have it all twisted, brother. You know what I'm saying? We need to be happy to see a brother get up and get out the ghetto. We should be happy to see a brother, you know, change his life for the better. Just like Pot say, I ain't mad at you. Why should you be mad at an individual that's doing better? You know what I'm saying? If anything, you know what I'm saying? Find out how that he got to that plateau. What did he do to rise up to that level instead of sitting back plotting on you finna break in his house and steal everything, or you finna burn his car up because he has a Mercedes Benz and you don't have one?
They got to
find
action.
Out the formula. Find out the formula.
They can come in my house and break in the motherfucking. You won't get, you might come through the front door, but you won't go back out that way, because you're going to get popped on when you first come through.
Hey, man. James said they coming in vertical, leaving horizontal.
Hey.
And I got love for everything and everybody. But if it's that's the way it got to go, that's the way it got to go. Some things you don't forget.
You know, this one of those things too, man, where I wish we, you know, the show hour long, we already over that, but I want to have you come back, man, because I don't feel like this story is finished. Can we do that?
Well,
yeah, I'm gonna take care of him. He got to come back. Yeah. And this is what I want everybody to know. Me and Norm and Eight, our purpose is to show that everybody, I listen to everybody, but I'm like this. We all got a choice. And when you standing in that moment and you in the heat of it and you feel like you got to do something, look at who's around you and make that choice. If he going to go to jail with me, fuck it, let's do it. If he ain't going to run out on me, fuck it, let's do it. Let's get at these cats. But everybody got a choice. And we made a lot of choices. We are lucky to be here.
Very blessed.
And we made a lot of fucked up choices. We made a lot of choices that wasn't right. But for all of these little young cats out here, we have a choice. And that's the bottom line. Well, our choices is, man, we're going to grow up and be grown men and raise our grandkids. You know, and for those brothers that, oh, he done turned into a woman. He raising kids. Man, I'm proud to be a grandfather. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of us brothers. I got a lot of homies that didn't even have one kid. I got some OGs that don't have no kids, never been married. All we know is prison and death. So if we can get away from that, we'll be all right.
Well, I want to say this about Ray Boyce and Tavi Clark. I believe them brothers had the gift of being athletes, professional athletes in boxing and sports, track, whatever. But they wanted to hang out with the homeboys, you know what I'm saying, in the hood. Ray Boyce went to college. He went to Southwest. He played football for YTS in 74. Speedy, original Speedy from Backstreet Crip, told me that Ray Boyce was the beast on YTS, youth training school, football field. And I know that. Ray Boyce ran the ball like Earl Campbell. And he hit you like he was Lawrence Taylor. The brother had professional, hard-hitting skills and hard-running skills. If he would have took that from Southwest, from YTS to Southwest, matter of fact, they said from Jordan, 71 or 70, and then he went to TS. He played for Jordan, and he was a beast at Jordan. And then he played for YTS. He was a beast at YTS. Then he went to a Southwest College in 72, and he played for Southwest College. And he ended up going right back. He went right back. But my whole thing is this, my brother. You know what I'm saying? We should want for our brothers, if you see a brother with talent, you know, and you see that he got the ability to get up out of here, man, you should want that for him, and not want to be drinking and smoking and urging him to hang out on the streets with you. You know, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hate to say the thing about Tupac's situation, dealing with the situation of, I'm just going to put it this way. I'm going to use myself as an example. If I was a producer or anything like Dr. Dre or Suge or anybody, and I had a rapper that was worth $1 million or $1 billion industry, he would be kept very safe, because I love him and I would want the best for him and his family, because the man is on a positive road. I would keep him away from the negativity. So if I see somebody that have a good boxing hand, a good sport hand, I would try to guide him to stay into that and leave the gang members alone. This can be beneficial for the community. He can open up doors for people like in the projects to join basketball or football, just like Andre Miller. He became a golden nugget. He's from Nickerson Garden. He never gangbanged in his life. Yes, Andre Miller. He's my homeboy. He know me personally. I didn't even know who he was until I ran up on him one day, and he said, "What's up, Frog? I'm Andre Miller." I said, "Oh, you the golden nugget." And he greeted me because he knew me as a little boy. And that made me feel good that the brother from the golden nugget is a multimillionaire and he's not in the project. I wasn't thinking about robbing him or killing him or hating on him. I was happy for him, because guess what, my brother? That could be me too if I would have took that same role. We make choices in life. Just like Ray Boyce. He was best in sporting, best in boxing. I would say he was the best with his fists in L.A. from what Too Pretty Kenny and Mac Thomas was talking about. But that's another can of worms. But my whole thing is this, my brother. You know what I'm saying? I love these brothers to the point to where in my heart right today, I want the best for them. And I would like to give a roll call out on these pictures very briefly, if it's all right.
For sure, do your thing.
Okay. Number one is Ray Boyce. He's squatting down in 1975. He just got out of YA. This is when he was working for the WCAC. And matter of fact, yes, 1970, he came home in 1975. He's working for, he was doing construction work for the Nickerson Garden Projects. They was rebuilding the inside, remodeling the projects in 75, 76. So the Watts Community House Authority hired a lot of bounty hunters to do work. And they was getting paid in 76. They was getting paid like $20, $25 an hour.
They was hiring them as security.
That's right.
I remember when they built the freeway over there on Imperial, because the white folks couldn't come up Imperial without getting them BBs and shit through their windows.
That's your generation. In my generation in the 70s, Ray Boyce, Terry Moses, they would actually snatch you out your car. They didn't bust no window. When that light catch you on Success or Central or right there on Compton Avenue, we didn't bust no windows and we didn't rob no black or Mexican people. Everybody who came was coming from Linwood or coming from the airport.
They had a
sense of identity of who they robbed also.
Right.
They didn't rob black people back then on Imperial in the 70s. No. Ray Boyce now was robbing a white man. He went to jail for robbing a white man. You know what I'm saying? I seen him do it myself. But he went to TS behind that in 72. We did not rob our own people back then. That case that happened with the Hawkins, that wouldn't have never happened with us in our generation, because we don't get into it with our community. We got into it with our adversaries, which was the Carver Park Crips. We didn't rob our community neighborhoods, liquor stores, because we had love for them. They seen us grow up as elementary people. So now that we teenager, we had a little bit of respect for them, except the one on 112th and Central. That was the one that we really was fighting. We was like in high school and junior high school fighting guys that was in their 30s and late 20s. And, you know, that came out kind of hectic. One of them ended up getting shot. You know, and the homies, you know, they broke somebody's leg and they beat up some homies. They pistol whipped one of the homies. And all this is in the 70s, but nobody never got killed. So that's just to show you that even people who you don't even like and you don't get along with, you still have a choice, my brother, of not killing that individual. You still have that choice. Now I want to discuss the one based on with Joe Barker. Joe Barker is the homeboy who remind me of Samson. He flexing his muscles, right? And he's standing next to Bay Bruh. Bay Bruh is a gunner. He has no respect for law. He remind me of, what's that guy's name? Babyface Nelson. He remind me of Nelson. He do not like, you know, my thing with the homies that I have a lot of respect for was based on the police. My homeboys back in the 70s never killed the Crip. Never killed the Crip. That's not on record killing the Crip. But they got at least 4 police cases under their belts during time. So Bay Bruh and Joe Barker, they both rest in peace, so I can speak on this, you know, dealing with their situation at hand. Killer Joe and Bay Bruh. Number 3 is dealing with another pitcher I would name Nickerson Garden Finest. You have Terry Moses, Ray Boyce, Roy Lynch, Coco, Rick Rock. And then you have Joe Smith at the bottom. You have Zorro. You have Earl Jones with the Choo Choo Charlie hat. The Choo Choo Charlie hat used to be the bounty hunter's original hat back in 1971, 72, before we start wearing Ace Deuces. Then you have JT. He rests in peace. Then you have Ricky Green, who AC wrote in his book. He was also a Bonnaroo back in 1974 with AC and YTS. And then here go the Bonnaroos again. And they came home in 1976. You got me holding the radio, Hard Rock pointing up to the sky, Terry Moses wearing the red tennis shoes. You have Neil Matthew wearing the leather coat and Coco pointing to the sky and Hard Rock wearing also a red bandana. And what I can actually say about these brothers right here, they brought Bonnaroo home. They truly brought the word Bonnaroo to the house. And I was there with them in 1976. So I don't know about what T. Rogers talking about. Everybody was saying cuz, and everybody was saying blood. We never said cuz. I never even heard no Pyro say cuz. We all started saying blood to each other and wearing red bandanas together. You know what I'm saying? Because I know for a fact Did nobody have the red bandana butt power rule? And LB and Little Vince made sure, not AC, but LB and Little Vince made sure that that red bandana that made power rule what it is today became a blood nation. And that's the true fact.
Yeah.
I have another one I want to talk about. I have the roll call of my homeboys, 1973 bounty hunters. You have Junior Thomas, left to right. You have Jerry Ortega. And then you have Sugar Lou from Power Rule throwing up the Power Rule sign. Then you have Michael Durow wearing a beige knit shirt throwing up the bounty hunter sign. Then you have Terry Moses throwing up the sign. You have David Taplet. And you have Sip Ortega. And you have, I forgot the other guy at the very end, but that's Terry Moses' little son standing right next to David Taplet. That's in YTS, not YTS, that's in Nellis. That's in Nellis, NYA, 1973, the original bounty hunters. Right there. Okay. Then we have another picture that I want to elaborate on. You're dealing with Junior Thomas standing to your left and Hard Rock standing to your right. Junior Thomas is the leader of the bounty hunters with a red flag on. Now, I challenge anybody that is a Brim or from any other set to show me a picture of the OG homeboys back in the 70s with a red flag. And I'm talking about guys that would be like 67 and 66 today. Hard Rock is flamed up. He rests in peace. He would be today 65. We're dealing with originals. They're standing right in the middle of the heart of Nickerson Garden. You have Hank in black standing by the radio, and you have Squeak in the right tennis shoes wearing black. And that this is in the 70s of the original Bonner Rules. Then you have another picture of the homeboys standing together in the project. You have Michael Ford wearing a beige beanie cap. You have Terry Moses wearing a leather coat. You have Gary Barker wearing a light blue shirt. You have somebody in the background throwing up a bounty hunter sign. You have Ricky Bryant in the bottom left corner. That's Silky Blood. And these are the original bounty hunters hanging out together in 1978, 79. And I just want to elaborate on one more thing, and that would be with Mr. T, Michael Smith, rest in peace. I have his obituary right before me right now, and he passed away in November the 18th, 1982. This guy right here, what I like about him, he was the type of guy that he truly believed in fist fighting. This is the only homeboy that I know from Nickerson Garden that took it to the Jordan Down Crips with his fist by himself. Him and Eddie Brim from the Jordan Down Crips, they had a fist to cuff fight. And they was fighting like cats and dogs in the Jordan Down neighborhood on Grandy behind the tracks. And we had squabbles with them guys because at one time we was Green Jackets. So we really never had, you know, the killing feel with each other. We always did respect each other and gave each other fair fades. And I would say Michael Smith was the one that actually took it to him and started fighting him instead of us taking pot shots at each other. And they tried to jump on him. And I jumped in and gave somebody what they call a dope fiend punch. And they all turned and looked at me like they was getting ready to jump on me. And my boy from the Jordan Downs, my partner, Cedric McGill, he stopped them and told them they not finna do nothing to me because he knew me from juvenile hall. And I don't think I knew him from juvenile hall, but I wasn't going to disagree that he, that, you know what I'm saying? And they get ready to jump on me. So Michael Smith is the brother who took it like a vanguard to the Crips with his fist. He wanted to fight him and not shoot him. And that was his choice. And I was right there with him. Now, my choice would have been the same thing, but at the same time, I'm afraid that you go up to an individual talking about fighting and they want to kill you while you're talking about fighting. So I had that mentality, but he never thought like that. So I wonder, was he actually slipping or was he doing the right thing? So like I say, it's his choice again. And I want to leave with this last picture. This is Michael Smith, Trouble Man. That's his name. We call him Trouble Man, Mr. T. This is his daughter. Also, he's standing on a bench with his daughter is standing on the bench. And he also have a picture of him with his hands open. He's in YTS at the time for a murder. He was there back in like 79 in TS. He's smiling on this picture. And not last but least, Two Pretty Kenny from Corner Pocket Crip. I got him at one pitcher. You know what I'm saying? This is my boy, man. Too Pretty Kenny from Corner Pocket.
Well, he came over cool my house, names. Man.
And we kicked it. He brought my kids some lunch and everything. And we chopped it up with each other, him and his girlfriend. We taking a picture right in front of my Lincoln Navigator.
Let me see that picture.
And that's my real partner right there. It's one thing I can say about him, man, that I like about him, man. You know, he has a sense of humor that make me love him, man, because I don't see no fakeness in him when it comes to humor. You know, he'll make you laugh, my brother, and he's real about his laughter, you know, and I have a lot of respect.
I know this dude.
Yeah. He's from Corner Pocket. He's original Corner Pocket. Matter of fact, he's the one that started in his mama garage. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, I got love for Crips, too. I got love for Melly Mel. He's a good brother. He speak with knowledge. He speak with understanding. I have love for Cukes also. He speak with knowledge and understanding. But I will say this, though, Cukes and Pookie, Remy Washington did use a gun. Yeah, you need to buy the book, I Am Remy Washington. And it speaks on that because they use guns all in the book.
Ain't nothing wrong with using a gun, though. What? I mean, a gun is the easy way to, like, fuck it.
But start.
No sweating, no, man, pop a motherfucking gun about your business.
But
be done with it.
But don't compare Ray Boyce, who never used a gun,
right,
with a person who used a gun.
Well, you can't compare that. Yeah,
he was a squabbler. He wasn't a gun user. Right. So you don't compare. I'm letting them know Jimmy Lavador and Kev Mack made a statement about that. And I'm just letting them know Raymond used guns and Ray Boyce didn't use guns. And it's in the books.
Well, I'm here to say I'm rocking and rolling with you, Raymond. If you need the pistol and it's the easy way, I can get 5 for $1. Pop them.
Well, I used a gun myself, my brother. I didn't That's become Bonnie on the floor for nothing. But my whole point is this. Don't never get on the stage saying that Bonnie Hunter Frog never used a gun when you know I was a gunner. Don't right. get on stage and say that Bonnie Hunter Frog had respect for the females of the hood when you know I was going around calling everybody the B word. You know what I'm saying? Which is the B-I-T-C-H.
Basically, you know have some real facts for what you're talking about.
Exactly. The factor part is what I'm talking about. There's nothing wrong with using a gun, but my point is, you know, I understand this, and I'm going to leave you with this, my brother.
Yeah, because I'm ready to go smoke.
How much time do we have left?
None. I got to go smoke a cigarette.
Okay. So is this just a break, or are we coming
back?
No,
we're going to do a part two. We got to do a part two.
Back right now, after we get through.
No, not
his family.
Okay. Well, I just want to just say this. I'm going to let y'all go, my brother. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to let y'all go. You know what I'm saying? And where is that subject at? Where is that subject?
I'm going to go smoke a motherfucking cigarette.
I'm looking for the subject.
I'm going to go out this front door.
AC Bubba Louie, I just want to let you know, Charlie Percy, you know what I'm saying? As Ricky Bryant would say, Silky Blood, if they ever would have got into it, Charlie Percy didn't have no edge over Ray Boyce. Ray Boyce was athlete. Matter of fact, me and Bitter Dog, a.k.a. Silky Blood, Ricky Bryant, we come to the conclusion that Charlie Percy wouldn't probably even ever hit Ray Boyce because he was too athletic for Charlie Percy. But you know, that's just our opinion, though. We all have our opinions, so everybody is entitled to their own opinion. Only thing I would say about Ray is this, my brother. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is, my brother. He was a type of guy that did not use no guns, and he did not believe in using guns, and he never used a gun. I understand that we do comparisons. We have a tendency of comparing Kobe to Michael Jordan. We have a tendency of comparing Rocky Marciano to Ali. We have a tendency of comparing Biggie Small to Tupac. You know what I'm saying? But in our hearts of hearts, all them people that y'all comparing them to, y'all know who number one is. Y'all know who number one is. So we don't even have to elaborate on nothing else dealing with this situation. Too Pretty Kenny and Mac Thomas told the truth. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to know about Ray Boyce, read Too Pretty Kenny book where Mac Thomas say that if him and Raymond Washington would have got into it, you know what I'm saying, it would have been Ray all the way. And I also want to say this. I challenge anybody, honcho, head honcho, Alfred Pygmy, Tyrone Tate, anybody who really know Ray Boyce and who really know Raymond Washington, I challenge them to what do they think about Raymond and Ray in comparison dealing with slanging them dogs. Who do you think, you know, hypothetically, had the best hands. I'm talking about the original triple OGs who know both of them. Anybody who don't know both of them, you can't compare them. You have to know both of them personally to compare them. That's the only way you can make a comparison is by knowing both people. And I'm going to leave it like that.
And there it is right there. OG Frog, part two coming soon. Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find that purple mic on the front screen of your phone, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and a rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles are Norm Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Taylor. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt. The show's audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeart Media. Any questions or comments, hit us up at thegangstachroniclespodcast@gmail.com. Peace. Be safe out there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.